Good morning. This is the Ramblings of an Undisciplined Mind podcast for Friday, October 3rd, 2014. This is episode 21. It is Friday, which usually gives me a lift. I am hoping that my day improves. I had a really bad ear infection that lasted for about a month. Two, 3 months ago. And my left ear is starting to fill up with fluid again. So that's great. The question is going to be probably whether I go to the doctor today or Monday. But I got the headache back today. Tonight it has been back for a couple days. I get ready to do this podcast, and the little clip that holds the lapel mic on disappeared. So I had to improvise by running the cable through a buttonhole on my shirt. And then I just noticed that the battery cover on the back of my voice recorder here is missing. Anyway, I don't want to talk about that. I've got some Starbucks here. I got a little half and half, half pike, half decaf. Hoping to, maybe the caffeine will help with the headache a little bit, because the ibuprofen hasn't really done much with it yet. So I'll be sucking some of that down. But what I felt like talking about today, I've been thinking about one of the, it's been a pretty good franchise of science fiction storytelling. And it's probably been the one that I was very reluctant to get into, and it was kind of weird in that sense. And that was Stargate. You know, I did not see Stargate in the theaters, but the wife and I rented it one day because it was space, it was aliens, something weird stuff in the trailer. I thought, that was one of those ones that's like kind of on my to watch list at some point. So when it came out, it probably came out on VHS. It's probably that old. Because I think it's an 80s movie, isn't it? I don't know. Maybe 90s. But we rented it. And I think the verdict was pretty much a resounding meh. I didn't hate it, but I don't know that I necessarily liked it. It just really didn't click with me all that much. And I've had that happen with movies before, and it's just kind of like, okay, I saw it, I can mark that one off, my bucket list and move on. It's really probably only been a one or two movies that has really, had the same effect on me, and in the end result, I'll talk about that maybe a little bit later. I'm not that far along in the story yet. But then, I don't know. Time passed as time will, and it got to be about a year or so later, year-ish, give or take several months, and I started thinking about this movie, and I thought, I need to see this again. And it was funny because it came to my mind one day when, and I mentioned it to the wife, and she's like, I've been thinking the same thing. So we sat and watched it a second time. And it's funny because this time it totally clicked for me. Really for both of us. I really enjoyed it. I got into the score. All of a sudden I realized the score on this thing is fabulous. It's written by a guy you may have heard of by the name of David Arnold. He's gone on to do some really great stuff, but this was, I think, like his first breakout score. And it's pretty freaking phenomenal. I buy movie soundtracks. I should talk about movie soundtracks sometime. But this was one of the ones I bought. And there's some great stuff in that score. So I bought that. So, you know, I really liked the movie. And I was just like, wow, to this day, I really don't know what it was about me where it didn't really click with me going in. But I thought the cast was superb. James Spader, I thought, did an excellent job as the titular character of Dr. Daniel Jackson. Kurt Russell played Colonel Jack O'Neill, and he did a really good job. And there were some other characters in there that I really began to enjoy. Yeah, and I think one of the things that really made the movie click, and who knows, maybe this was an element that I didn't really appreciate at the time, was Jay Davison playing Ra. And I think he was perfect for it because he was so sexually ambiguous. The thing about him was, at the time at least, you could look at him and you weren't really sure, was he male or was he female? And they really played on that in the movie he did called The Crying Game, until they eliminated all doubt with a little full frontal nudity. But that kind of androgynous look for him really worked as this alien in a human body form. It really kind of lent a lot to the character because it seemed something other. It wasn't male, it wasn't female, it was other, and he pulled that off really well. And then the effects are really good. I always especially enjoy the effect. You got these Jaffa, as we now know them, which were like his guards. And they had these elaborate, you've seen these elaborate Egyptian head masks, and they would transform. They could go away and come back, and they would just kind of, it all happened, it was all digital, but it was just really cool how they had these helmets kind of flow over them and flow back. So I just really thought that was a fun movie. And I thought, okay, that's great. Fun movie. Maybe I'll buy it sometime now. And then Sci-Fi started coming out with a show called Stargate SG-1. And once again, I just seeing the trailers, we were watching lots of sci-fi at that time. Because they were, at that point, they were SCIFI, and they actually tended to show some sci-fi. I saw a couple, ads for it. There's also ads for it. I didn't really feel like I should bother with it. But then over the course of time, it was probably like into the second, third season, we decided, well, let's give it a try. And it's really rather surprising that we ended up loving that show as much as we did. Because it's a lot different. It's still coming off the same basis. But they changed the characters around. The closest character is they did have Michael Shanks playing Dr. Daniel Jackson. And he, at the beginning there, he played it a lot like James Spader's character. For the first season or two, he was doing playing a lot the same. Though that did morph over the, 11 seasons they were on, something like that, which is okay. They had, I can't remember his name. The guy who played MacGyver. Crap. Richard Dean Anderson. Thank you, Brain, for finally kicking in the gear. Yeah, Richard Dean Anderson, who did play MacGyver. He played Colonel Jack O'Neill. And, that was probably good for the direction they chose to take the character. Because I loved MacGyver. I loved him in MacGyver. We watched that show like crazy. That is still the reason I carry a Swiss Army knife in my pocket to this day. But so I really love his acting. And they brought him in as Colonel Jack O'Neill. Now, in the movie, he's a pretty he's a pretty tragic, no-nonsense kind of guy. He lightens up a wee bit at the end, but, you know, he's a pretty serious character. And they really lightened him up a ton. They changed his character a lot. You know, he was tragic because his son had inadvertently killed himself with his service revolver. And they kept the backstory the same for this character, but they changed the personality quite a bit. But he ended up being my favorite character of the TV show. And we ended up just loving it, all three of us, really. We went back and watched the past seasons that we'd missed, and then we were, you know, watching it, religiously until the end. The show, the TV show, did fix one of the things that always kind of bugged me about the movie. There's a scene at the end of the movie, an atomic bomb is going off, and it's going to kill the Ra, Jay Davison's character. And you get the split second of, because the whole thing is that the alien took over the human's body that was, you know, Jay Davison's body. So some sort of a symbiote kind of thing is implied. But just before this, just as this bomb is getting ready to go off, Jay's face kind of fades out, and you see the face, the alien face, supposed to be the alien within as he's screaming out his last alien, no! You know, because he's going to get blown into smithereens. But it's like, you know, are we back to Men in Black here, where the alien scooped out the Jay Davison body and was wearing a Jay Davison suit? Yeah, we didn't have Men in Black back then, so... It's just weird because it's like, how does that work? Well, the TV show fixed that by they gave the race a name, Gu'a'uld, or Gould. I personally like the official Gu'a'uld pronunciation of Gu'a'uld. And they made them little symbiotic snake-like creatures that would enter in the back of your neck and twist around your spine and then insert feelers and take over your body. And so I always thought that was a better representation than what they did for the movie. I kind of get that they wanted to show you the inner alien being pissed off, but yeah, I don't know. That piece always seemed weird to me. And I've been thinking about SG-1 a bit lately because, you know, we learned that these guards were called Jaffa. You know, they had to build a lot of, and I don't know if this was like, because Roland Emmerich, if I'm pronouncing that right, I believe directed it. And I don't know how much, I think he wrote it. I don't know how much of the elements that they used for SG-1 were backstory, maybe that he had written for the movie that wasn't used. But, you know, the guards are called Jaffa. The bad guys like Ra were called the Gu'a'uld. And so they had to invent, you know, bits of language and whatnot. And I think about it recently because they had a command. So if you needed a Jaffa to do something or to behave himself or to snap their attention, you say, Jaffa, Kree! And it seemed to mean a lot of things. It could mean, you know, yo, Jaffa brother, how you doing? It could mean, you know, stand their attention. It could mean... you better behave. It was kind of funny. But I think about it now because now they've got a halogen light, and I think it's spelled K-R-E-E. But now there's ads on TV for a halogen light bulb. And its brand name is Cree with a C. And so I always think about, and we need an ad. We need an ad with a Jaffa putting one of these things in. And then, you know, Ra says, Jaffa, Kree, and another Jaffa flips the light switch. That would be awesome. I really need to work with an ad agency. I want to see that happen. If only I knew how to make halfway decent videos and had, you know, a Jaffa outfit, that might be fun to do. But that's probably just funny in my head, but whatever. That tickles me. I'm going to see that in my head now every time I see that ad. The other thing, oh, I'm in high school again. My voice is back. I'm trying not to keep laughing because you don't want a podcast of me sitting here laughing. The other thing that's really significant for me personally for Stargate SG-1 is there are really only two episodes of... there are only two instances of episodic TV where I can name... Well, first of all, I can say of this whole 11-season run, I think it was 11. It was something in the more than 10 range. There is one episode that is my all-time favorite, and that I know the episode title. Now, I'm not counting Star Trek, the original series in this, because those are just, I mean, being a Trekkie and you know, reading about it and talking about it over the years, I know a lot of those episodes by name. I'm not sure I could really pin down... Yeah, I probably could pin down a favorite if I really tried, or at least a top three, but... Yeah, I'm going to kind of exclude that because those episode titles are such a part of geek culture. But like for Stargate and for Star Trek Next Generation, they always have episode titles. I usually don't pay attention to that, honestly. I don't know why. A lot of shows have titles for their episodes, and I usually just don't pay that much attention to it. But Stargate has got one called Window of Opportunity. Probably won't surprise people that are familiar with me and my writing to know that it's a time travel episode. And so they find themselves in a time loop, and they're all in it, but Jack O'Neill is the only one that really notices it. And it takes him a while. He kind of starts beginning to have... major deja vu kind of thing happening going on, and it takes many iterations to realize what's happening, and that the problem has got to be with the upcoming mission, because he goes back, I think it's like a day and a half or something like that. He's got a little bit of time. They're trying to figure it out on successive iterations of this time frame. It's a great episode. It's fun, it's fun playing with time. There's a lot of humor in it. I really enjoy it. So, like I said, one of my top two favorite episodes. But there's a lot of good stuff there. And so we grew into that franchise. We ended up, we followed along when it expanded into Stargate Atlantis. We liked that a lot. And we watched a couple episodes of Stargate Universe, but I don't know, that one really didn't do much for us, and ended up, I think, getting canceled at the end of the first season or into the second season. So that wasn't around for very long anyway. So anyway, those are my remembrances thinking about Stargate and Stargate SG-1. Still one of my faves. We own the movie. They made some add-on movies for Stargate. When it went off the air, they did a couple, made for TV movies that were really very good. Sci-fi can do some really good when they put their mind to it, and they're not doing, Sharknado. They can really make some good movies. And actually, there's one of my favorite movies I'll talk about at some point is a sci-fi flick as well. So I guess that'll be it. I think I'll end my discussion with this here. Tomorrow will be Saturday. I am expecting to do an episode tomorrow. So until then, be seeing you.